For our Peace Bucket, we're joined by Canyon Ryan, who's involved with, among other things, the Capital District Socialist Party. On Sunday, July 25th at 2 p.m., they and a bunch of other groups are helping to sponsor a rally in solidarity with the people of Cuba and the present situation down there. Canyon, can you maybe talk a little about what's going to take place at the rally and why it's being called?
Certainly. And thank you for having me. So the rally was called because there have been a lot of protests in Cuba and it's made national news. And I wanted, you know, we all wanted to make sure that a different perspective, one that wasn't just parroting the imperialist line on Cuba, was going to be provoked in the Capital District. And so a couple different organizations thought that it was a good idea to get together and hold a little rally in support of the people of Cuba against the blockade and U.S. attempts to undermine the revolution, and just offer that perspective opposed to the one that is this brutal Stalinist dictatorship in the Caribbean that is repressing its people and starving them on purpose and things of that sort.
Now, I noticed I'm on the co-sponsor of Boston Green Party, Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace, Albany DSA, a Party for Socialism and Liberation, Albany. How does the blockade, you know, figure, you know, into these protests that, you know, have appeared in Cuba? And I will say, you know, I wish all the demonstrations that I organized that pull out similar numbers would receive such similar national attention from the American media. But how does the blockade actually figure into this situation?
Yeah. And just to add to that, too, I mean, on the same day of the Cuba protests, when they first began, 72 people were murdered in South Africa during protests. And Haiti held some of their largest demonstrations after their president was assassinated. So it really speaks to the interests of media when they talk about the Cuba protests. But several thousand historic protests, certainly, but comparatively not the largest that we've seen and not the largest that week. The way that the blockade plays in, it's crucial, and it's amazing how many reports don't even mention it, or when they do mention it, it's almost like in this disparaging way where they say it's an excuse for the dictatorship. The protests began as a response to shortages in food and goods, long queues and lines for commodities, basic necessities, and the Cuba blockade that the U.S. sponsors unilaterally, illegally, is the main piece, the main element that produces that shortage. Now, also COVID-19 has made this an issue, but it's also the Trump sanctions, the 240 Trump sanctions that were introduced between his presidency that Joe Biden promised to go back on, and he has not gone back on, that result in these shortages. There's nothing more cynical than this blockade and the way that it's portrayed in U.S. media as an excuse for all the issues that the government has. If it's not the blockade, then why don't we let it go and let the government fall on its own? We know it won't happen. The point of the blockade was to make the people upset enough that they would revolt against the communist dictatorship, as the U.S. says. Of course, it's a proletarian dictatorship that the people of Cuba have overwhelmingly supported and been unified by through the blockade's efforts to undermine this revolution.
Now, on a regular basis, basically every country on the planet, other than the United States and Israel, at the United Nations votes basically to condemn and to end the American blockade on Cuba. Why has the United Nations been so powerless to, you know, actually force the United States, what is this, 50 years now, to stop this blockade?
62 years, and you're absolutely right. It was just this month, I believe, might have been last month, that the UN for the 29th consecutive year voted almost unanimously to condemn the U.S. blockade. And why is it always the U.S. and Israel, these beacons of democracy, where they, you know, uphold racism in their laws, and then they say, oh, you know, there's a law that was passed that says that we can't do this anymore, so obviously we're not doing it anymore, you know, just ignoring all systemic critiques of it. It just speaks to the profanity of the entire thing. Why is the UN so powerless? The US is an instrumental player in the UN. The US is able to really bend the UN over its knee and force the UN into all of these weird, like the OPCW scandal with the Syria Duma gas attacks, the U.S. made sure that the OPCW published the correct report, which was a doctored report. And so the same thing always happens in Cuba, too, where the U.N. will say, or UNICEF will say, the, you know, Cuba is a paradise for children because of the emphasis they put on maternal and child care. But the U.S. is always sure to make to have those, you know, human rights abuses documented at the front of the page. Then, you know, the U.N., what it's supposed to represent and what it does represent are completely different things. It's supposed to be the international community, but the international community is not supposed to be beholden to the U.S., which the U.N. is, and unfortunately, largely the international community, as we call it, is as well.
Now, a couple of weeks ago on our Peace Bucket, we talked about the Cuban situation with Medea Benjamin, one of the co-founders of Code Pink. And, you know, she had mentioned that a number of Cuban supporters, including a number of Cuban Americans, you know, were marching, I believe, from Miami up to D.C. to show their solidarity and particularly call for the end of the blockade. And other than, you know, following it on Facebook and other social media, this does, you know, has not been covered by the mainstream media, certainly in the United States. But are there other rallies, you know, similar to what's taking place in Albany, taking place elsewhere in the country?
Yes, there are. You know, it seems to be that the media, the U.S. media, would prefer to focus on these SOS Cuba rallies where the police in, you know, DeSantis's Florida will, you know, offer them guidance and escort protesters around. Meanwhile, DeSantis's government will repress BLM protesters and pass anti-riot laws and make it legal to hit them with their car. But the U.S. ignores all of that and wants to focus on these, you know, pro-intervention rallies in Cuba or in Florida about Cuba. And of course, doesn't focus on the protests just a couple days ago in Miami-Dade, where protesters were shouting, "Soy Fidel, I am Fidel, soy Fidelista, I am a follower of Fidel, I am Cuba, solidaridad con Cuba." You know, there are protests like this all over the country, and it's no coincidence that the U.S. and mainstream media doesn't want to give it any time, any broadcasting opportunity. I mean, you say one good thing about Cuba and they'll smear you to no end, just like they did Bernie Sanders. It's the freedom of speech, how we condemn Cuba for having no freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of protest. It's the same thing in the U.S., but it's a little bit worse because the U.S. is the imperialist core, and it prevents Cuba as well from offering its citizens the same rights, because it's so often the case that the U.S. is trying to undermine Cuba through, you know, financing protests through the National Endowment for Democracy and U.S. aid, all of these emphases on freedom of expression through these hip hop groups that the NED sponsors. I mean, all of the protests that we see are not all of the protests there are. And there are plenty of them. There'll be another one on the same day in Albany sponsored by Party for Socialism and Liberation to explain the disastrous blockade and why it's created this protest in Cuba in the first place.
So there's going to be a rally, Townsend Park, Cuba Support, Solidarity, Sunday, July 25th at 2 p.m. As in most countries, you know, it's often the young people, the teenagers, are most dissatisfied because they grow up and, you know, to be honest, the economic opportunities, you know, aren't particularly great. And certainly the American media has made a lot that, you know, I guess there's some hip hop artists who put out some, you know, songs saying, you know, sort of enough is enough. You know, what type of hope do you give to, you know, young people?
You know, young people, they lead the change. And it's often the case that the young people leading the change are at an oppositional standpoint to the government line. It's no coincidence that there are capitalists and Nazi punks in the USSR, because the USSR worked so hard to uproot those what they considered negative ideals. I think what we would all consider quite negative ideals. And it's the same way in Cuba. You know, the younger population, they are of the first to experience consistent decline in their living standards. When Cuba came to be run by a revolutionary government, there was a lot of potential and excitement, and people felt the benefits. And since the USSR has collapsed, the special period in the 90s, and now this with the COVID crisis, the youth in Cuba, they have every right to be frustrated and demanding change. But it's the issue of how that is being positioned in the media that creates a sincere issue or concern in how the protests are commented on, how democracy is considered mm-hmm. to be.
I'm talking with Canyon Ryan, Capital District Socialist Party, this Sunday, July 25th, 2 p.m., Townsend Park in Albany. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.